FaithFit Radio and the Diocese of Orlando presents Saints Who Lead Us with Catherine Laguna, a program that is seeking to lead young adults to Christ and to enkindle a deeper faith that is fully alive. Now, here is your host.
How's it going, everyone? We've hit a milestone. Saints Who Lead Us has made it to a double-digit episode. Yay! I'm Kathy Laguna, your host, and I'm so grateful to be here with all of you. I really do hope this podcast series and all the other ones we have on FaithFit Radio and on our SoundCloud app are helpful in your faith journey. I know, at least for me, I've benefited learning from other Catholics who've either loved their faith from the start or have had a difficult time with the acceptance of God, but turned it around after much curiosity and prayer. Every single person has a different faith story to tell, and it's so important to know that yours matters too. This week, we'll be talking about the life of St. Patrick. So happy St. Patrick's Day, everyone. Now, this is most certainly a day well known across the entire United States, Ireland, and a bunch of other countries throughout the world, because this particular Saints Day has become one of those commercialized holidays where people wear green and drink green beer for cheap and party downtown all weekend. And this is something we as young adults can't really ignore, since their advertisements are geared towards us, right? The radio commercials here in Orlando are all about partying with friends, Irish style, on the rooftops of many other locations and clubs. And I'm not much of a clubber, but I know there will be many of us going out to these hotspots. And it doesn't mean that we can't have a good time celebrating with friends, wearing green so you don't get pinched. But of course, we should have boundaries and limits. There's a huge difference between having fun and getting smashed. We have to remember that the world tempts us to gravitate towards what looks fun and a good time. Just don't forget about your Lenten promises this season. One huge sacrifice lands on Friday along with St. Patrick's Day. I know the tradition is to have corned beef, but as Catholics, we must follow our Lenten sacrifices to refrain from having meat. And wouldn't it be a stronger witness to choose to continue keeping the promises we made to our God? Oh, and speaking of tradition, have you seen the yearly time-lapse video of the city of Chicago turning the Chicago River green? Pretty cool, right? So here's your trivia of the day. How many pounds of green dye does it take to turn the river green? All right, so it's 45 pounds. Crazy, right? I have to see how long that dye lasts too in that river. So this day is honored by many throughout the world, but how many of us really do know who St. Patrick really is? So let me be the one to throw the biggest bombshell to some of you who might not even know this. I've gone around the office all week telling people and shocking some. Okay. St. Patrick is not even Irish. Bam. There. I might have caused some minds to blow. I don't know. And for those of you who already knew, shame on you for never sharing that huge detail with the rest of us who didn't get the memo. So although St. Patrick is known as the Apostle of Ireland, Patrick was actually born in Roman Britain, which, if you think back to history class, Roman Britain was that area of the island of Great Britain that was governed by the Roman Empire from 43 to 410 AD. And Patrick lived there until he was about 14 because, shockingly, he was actually captured by Irish pirates during a party and taken to Ireland and sold as a slave. Yeah, and now that completely blew my mind. And I had no idea that his first experiences of being in Ireland were as a slave. He was forced to become a shepherd, tending to the sheep and farmlands of that area. And during Patrick's captivity, Ireland was actually a country filled with Druids and pagans. And Druids can be classified as priests, magicians, but those individuals who practice the ancient Celtic religion. So Patrick decided to make the best out of the terrible situation by turning to God and going to writing. And he wrote a memoir called The Confession. And at one point he wrote, "The love of God and his fear grew in me more and more, as did the faith and my soul was rose so that in a single day I have said as many as 100 prayers, and in that night nearly the same. I prayed in the woods and on the mountain, even before dawn. I felt no hurt from the snow or ice or rain. So despite the fact that he was brought to an unfamiliar place, he remained optimistic and courageous. It would have been rather easy for him to sink into a terrible level of hate, but he decided to keep the faith, keep his heart free of any animosity, and that is crucial and obviously not the easiest thing to do, but certainly possible. That's what this episode is all about, the possibility of practicing forgiveness, moving from hatred to forgiveness. It's important to open up a dialogue of forgiveness with those who have caused us pain. We have to try to stop resorting to revenge or holding grudges, because while we think we are winning the argument, we are also harming our relationship with God. God is so full of mercy and love, and all he wants is to help us along our own road to forgiveness with those who we should share that same mercy, love, and forgiveness with. We celebrate the fact that St. Patrick is a wonderful representation of resilience and strength. So throughout his 6 years of captivity, although there could be of moments of anger, you know, he was human after all, he chose to rise above that. It seems like the good thing to do, or the losing way out, since movies and book plots show revenge to be glamorous, but our purpose as Christians, as Catholics, is to aim toward holiness. And the best part is, believe it when I say it, we're all capable of it. So while I was doing some reading this week, I looked up the Bible readings for St. Patrick's Day, and the first reading is so good. The story is about the family of Jacob, another interesting example of a plot line that sure sounds like revenge, but it also illustrates such a level of mercy. It starts out on Genesis chapter 37, but every time I finished a chapter, it felt like a cliffhanger, no lie. I had to go to the next chapter to know what happens to this family. The irony of it fits so well with our discussion of hate and jealousy and resentment that can ultimately lead to forgiveness. So I'll read the version you'll see on the USSCB website. Israel loved Joseph best of all his sons, for he was the child of his old age, and he had made him a long tunic. When his brothers saw that their father loved him best of all his sons, they hated him so much that they would not even greet him. One day, when his brothers had gone to pasture their father's flock at Shechem, Israel said to Joseph, "Your brothers, you know, are tending our flocks at Shechem. Get ready, I will send you to them." So Joseph went after his brothers and caught up with them in Dothan. They noticed him from a distance, and before he came up to them, they plotted to kill him. They said to one another, "Here comes that master dreamer. Come on, let us kill him and throw him into one of the cisterns here. We could say that a wild beast devoured him. We shall then see what comes of his dreams." When Reuben heard this, he tried to save him from their hands, saying, "We must not take his life. Instead of shedding blood," he continued, "just throw him into that cistern there in the desert, but do not kill him outright." His purpose was to rescue him from his hands and return him to his father. So when Joseph came up to them, they stripped him of his long tunic he had on. Then they took him and threw him into the cistern, which was empty and dry. They then sat down to their meal. Looking up, they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming, their camels laden with gum, balm, and resin, to be taken down to Egypt. Judah said to his brothers, What is going to be gained by killing our brother and concealing his blood? Rather, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites instead of doing away with him ourselves. After all, he is our brother, our own flesh. His brothers agreed. They sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Wow, right? So that's just the foundation of what's to come for the family of Jacob. And if you want to continue reading the rest of their family story, it runs right to the end of Genesis chapter 50. It's amazing. But in a nutshell, if you don't really remember the entire story, I won't try to spoil everything for you, but Joseph becomes a huge figure in the land of Egypt years later. And he became buddy-buddy with the Pharaoh, and that landed him wondrous rewards. So down the line, when famine hit the area surrounding Egypt, people came to the Pharaoh for help and for food. So guess who comes knocking? Yeah, Joseph's brothers. And for a moment, they don't even recognize him. Of course, years have gone by and a person's look does change, but isn't it the perfect moment for Joseph to seek revenge on the brothers who tried to kill him and sold him in the first place? But that's the thing about hatred or about holding grudges. It's consuming. It's very powerful. It's almost easier to allow yourself to feed on that negativity, on that darkness. Even though we're young, I think some of us have had the moment we wanted to stay angry with a sibling, a parent, a wife, a husband, or a friend. However, God teaches us to stop ourselves when we feel that drive to hate, that overwhelming emotion to retaliate with someone who has hurt us first. Joseph could have easily placed them into slavery or signed off on their deaths. But instead, he chose to forgive and be absolutely gracious to them for decades. Read those chapters I mentioned before if you like. Genesis chapters 37 to 50. It is so good. Because even after the passing of their father Jacob, all the brothers actually still held on to that anxiety that Joseph would punish them. It's been years. In chapter 50, verse 15, it says, "Now that their father was dead, Joseph's brothers became fearful and thought, 'Suppose Joseph has been nursing a grudge against us and now, most certainly, will pay us back in full for all the wrong we did.' So they pleaded with Joseph for their lives, but Joseph already forgave them long before. He held onto no grudge. In fact, he would make sure to provide a life, a very good one, for his brothers and their children. It might have taken years for Jacob's family to heal, but the possibility was certainly the truth. The same goes for St. Patrick. He managed to escape captivity and make his way back to his home. He lost those 6 years of his life away from his family, but instead of holding Ireland hostage in some state of hatred, he felt a calling to evangelize. So in a dream vision, St. Patrick seemed to see all the children of Ireland from their mother's womb, and they were stretching out their hands towards him. And he took that as a sign to do mission work for the country of Ireland, which, remember, was rather pagan at the time. So he did his studies and down the line was consecrated bishop at the age of 43. So from there, that's when he went back to the country where he spent his youth as a slave to close a sad, troubling chapter and open up a chapter one with loads of dedication, forgiveness. He dedicated himself to be the teacher and the symbol of Christianity that Ireland didn't quite have at the time. St. Patrick encouraged widows to remain chaste, young women to consecrate their virginity to Christ, and he ordained many priests. He changed the structure of the entire country with numerous converts and divided the country into dioceses. St. Patrick also founded several monasteries and continued to urge people to seek holiness. Ireland had such a massive change, a developing sense of conversion that Christianity was able to spread, and from that have others become the new people to evangelize. It was like following in St. Patrick's footsteps. And that's something we can all do too. Lead by example. Be better than the other person, not out of spite, but with the goodness and respect we have for our brothers and sisters in Christ. There will be times when someone who offended us won't deserve that forgiveness, but a step towards holiness is taking a step back, regroup, and be the one to lend a helping hand. St. Patrick believed in what God wanted for his life, and as we continue to move along this faith journey we sometimes call the day-to-day grind, we too need to believe that our own path is mapped out by God, but steered by us. We have the power to forgive. We have that power to mend broken relationships. We just need to find that courage St. Patrick had to revisit old wounds. The Catechism of the Catholic Church teaches us that justification detaches man from sin, which contradicts the love of God and purifies his heart of sin. Justification follows upon God's merciful initiative of offering forgiveness. It reconciles man with God. It frees the enslavement to sin and heals it. That's from 1889 in the Catechism. So if we aren't willing to detach ourselves from the sin of hatred, of anger, greed, all the temptations we face, then we are remaining enslaved in that darkness that will never heal. There comes a time when I know I have to tell my ego to take a time out and listen to what God wants of me. He always has what's best for me, for all of us at heart. So after all of St. Patrick's hard work, he was actually laid to rest in County Down in Northern Ireland, where much violence and strife took place. So as we conclude on the life of St. Patrick, let's ask the Lord to be our guide when we are in the middle of that darkness of hatred. Do we fuel the hatred, or do we strive to slowly overcome the pain in an attempt to fix a relationship or just to at least forgive that person and move on? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord, you know what relationships we bring to you right now that need a healing touch. Please help me find the fortitude and grace St. Patrick had to gain the courage to forgive those who have caused us pain. Always living in a state of animosity isn't a healthy spiritual life, and I wish to slowly rid myself of those sins. Please guide the way as you always do. In this I pray. Amen. So when we spend time celebrating with friends and family this weekend for St. Patrick's Day, remember that this day is more than the parties and the drinks. It's really about someone who considered the state of Ireland centuries ago and began his mission work to plant the first seeds of Christianity. This is St. Patrick's legacy, and I read that the holiness of a person is known only by the fruits of his or her work. So, what fruitful works have you worked on lately? Thank you for listening to Saints Who Lead Us. Until next time, have a fabulous St. Patrick's Day.
FaithFit Radio and the Diocese of Orlando presented Saints Who Lead Us with Catherine Laguna. Thank you for listening. Check out the podcast at faithfitradio.org and tune in next time. May you be blessed with peace and joy.